Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Awing, 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 awing
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. And people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shazizz the Terrible here. Life is like wrestling a cactus. It can be a painful you know what. But you know, some people are really into the struggle. Some people enjoy all the drama that goes on out there in this world. You know, there are prophets of wisdom out there all over this planet that have words of wisdom that they either put down on paper or they put out there on the internet, or they speak to all their friends, you know, wisdom and common sense and stuff like that. Well, the Knights of the Round Table, I think those are some of the prophets of wisdom. I'm amazed at the brilliance of all the people that come together to actually make this show possible. You know, there's a quote on the Knights podcast that says, "Every new day comes with a new hope and a chance for a better world. The choice is up to you. You can make a difference. Join the Knights in our quest to make it so." You know, we're on Knights 122. And I've been meaning to get all the archives back up and put them on there, because this actual show started off on a different network, and you know, some things occurred back in the day, because you know, just natural human whatever. You know, the Knights code of honor: let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. As you look out there into this world and you listen in on the mainstream media and the alternative media, there's always just something going on. It's just such a drain on people's mental health and state of being. There's just so much more that the human being is capable of doing that is just mind-boggling. And to sit back and idly watch as the whole entire world appears to collapse in front of your very eyes, and you see all the people suffering and all this kind of stuff, and I hear people say things like, "Well, you're a slave from birth to grave." I don't believe that you have to be a slave from birth to grave. I know that a lot of people in this world have been deceived into believing that that's all they have, that's their only choice, and their only means by which to get out of bondage would be going out and committing acts of violence or terrorism or whatever it is you want to call it, you know, adding to the drama. You know, one guy kills this guy and then another guy kills that guy, a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye kind of thing. You know, in my heart, I want to reach out to the entire world, and I want to show my brothers and sisters around the world what it is to mean to be truly loving your fellow family members from all over the globe. I don't like to see war and sickness and pain and destruction. I don't like to see all the drama. I just, you know, I don't know, sitting by the campfire with your family, you know, in the summertime under the stars and just, you know, being together and having a good time. That's what life is all about to me. That's the kind of life I would like to lead. Or sitting in the house in the winter by the fireplace, you know, and looking out the window at the snow coming down on the ground and knowing that for at least that brief moment in time, everything seems to be just right. You know, watching your kids have fun with one another and growing up and you know, dirt around over here in some parts of the world, we celebrate Christmas, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ in our personal spiritual journeys. Not everybody out there in this world believes in that sort of thing, and not everybody in this world you know, celebrates that kind of thing. However, you know, in my little world, we do celebrate that, and you know, I listen to all the people out there talking about how this belief system was mixed with that one, and you know, just basically degrading it all. But if you sit down and you watch as your children are opening up presents that each other have gave to one another, or you know, you're giving a gift to somebody else just to show your love and appreciation for all that they've done for you, and to honor the Lord and Savior that I believe Jesus Christ to be, then you know, to me, it's a family thing. It's wonderful to see the joy in somebody's heart. You know, sometimes this world gets to moving so fast, and if you look out there, Christmas has become so commercialized, it's been distorted away from its initial meaning and all that. But you could sit around and you could evaluate this world. You could look inside and out, and you could turn and twist and distort all the facts and everything that's going on in the world. You can spend your entire lifetime worrying and being paranoid of things that are possibly going to happen, or you know, there's a quote out there, history, if you ignore history, it's bound to repeat itself. There's a lot of things in history that we're seeing once again, you know, and there's a lot of people out there that are in harm's way. The whole idea for the Knights of the Round Table wasn't to put some sort of group together that just, you know, got on the radio and said a lot of cool stuff, you know, and, you know, get famous and popular and all that kind of stuff. It was set out there as a little seed planted in the ground for hope. You know, I look at my constitution that everybody, you know, you got different people out there that talk about, you know, you don't need a constitution to be free or whatever. You know, it starts off, we the people. And I've used that phrase on the Knights of the Round Table a lot of times. We the people, you know, that's a powerful thing. And we the people actually do have a choice of where we want our destiny to go. But most folks just don't, they don't take those words as literal as they should. You know, and some folks, they think that the only way that you're going to get anything accomplished in this world is to go out and harm somebody else. I don't see that as being the case. I see that even though things are bad, at least appear to be bad in the Matrix, that leading by example and raising children of the future to be honorable and respectful, you know, be knights of the round table, you know, where they come together in respect for one another. And, you know, like I said so many times on this show and many others, that we don't always agree on things, but we can agree to disagree in a respectful manner The whole idea was to be able to seek solutions to problems in the world and figure out ways by which we can get people motivated in order to make these things come to pass. There's a lot of stories in this world. You can't look at one single individual in this world without recognizing that they themselves had a life. They had a story. They didn't just get where they're at, you know, without traveling down some sort of road. And I thought at one time, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to stop the world in its tracks, just to completely stop time itself and be able to go around and talk to every single living individual on this planet and hear their stories and just listen. You know, sometimes too much knowledge can be a hindrance. Sometimes knowing things before they happen can be a curse. You know, life is like a journey. It's you know, you wouldn't want nobody telling you the movie before it's all over with. But if you stand back and you look and you watch and you pay attention to what's going on around you, you can see the direction that things are going in, and you know that there's different destiny paths that we as humanity could actually travel. And at the end of those roads, they all come to the same end. It's just how you get there that it really makes the difference. When you're gone, what are people going to say about what you've done with your life, you know? You know, taking God completely out of the equation and there's nothing else, it's just, you know, that's that. You know, once you're gone, you're gone. What are people going to say about you, you know? Is it going to matter what anybody says about you, or do you want to leave something such as, you know, the Egyptians left these huge pyramids out there to say, you know, hey, we were here, you know, this is where we were at. You know, they left something behind so that they would never be forgotten. And maybe there was something else going on. Who knows? There's so many different possibilities, potentials to all the different stories. But as I look at each and every individual that I pass in a day, I think about their life and I think about their story. And sometimes I get sad because I think, you know, as I pass an old house, as I'm driving down the road and I see, you know, the house is all deteriorated and rotted down, and I think about the family that was raised up in that house, and that, you know, it must have been a lot of things going on there. It must have been a lot of stories. Hopefully they were good stories. Hopefully they were, you know, happily ever after kind of stories. But the struggle that humanity goes from the time that you're born to take your first breath and all the way up till the time whenever you leave this earth. Some people like to think there is no purpose for it all. Some people like to believe that there is some sort of divine intervention, some sort of destiny that we're all on to basically achieve something. School, you know, life is school. We're here to learn. Well, if we're here to learn, and this is the generation that's here to be the future teachers of all of humanity, then what kind of lesson do we want to leave behind for the children of the future? Do we want to be martyrs in a society to where, you know, things were just so bad and a few of us stood up and we were struck down by the man, and then later on down the line, somebody kept the struggle going, and it was never-ending cycle of struggle after struggle after struggle. There's a little story out there called The Three Little Pigs, you know. It's talking about one little pig made his house on sticks, and the other one made his house with straw, and one made his house with bricks, and you know how the story goes, the big bad wolf shows up and the house with bricks is the last one standing and all that kind of stuff. But as I'm thinking about common sense of it all, I'm thinking, you know, if I'm the guy that's going to build my house with bricks, I would go over and I would help my brothers and I'd say, look, you know, good chance big bad wolf's going to come on over, you know, and maybe if you want to keep him from blowing your house down, you might want to construct your house with something stronger than straw or sticks and kind of guide him that way. So, you know, when I talk about prophets of common sense, prophets of wisdom in this world, I believe there's a lot of prophets of wisdom. I believe there's a lot of radio hosts out there on Wake Radio, No Borders, and Shaziz Radio, and different other networks out there that are prophets of wisdom. Do they have honorable intentions for, you know, what they're trying to say or do to help people out? There's a picture on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page that shows a whole bunch of people in a circle, and it also shows one person outside the circle. And it says simply that this picture says it all. The one person outside of the circle, it says, you are the missing piece of that puzzle. It's a puzzle in the center of that circle. You are the missing piece. And without you, you know, humanity can't never reach its full potential. That's why I always say stuff like, you know, every time we lose one particular individual, don't matter where they're at on this planet, we lose a big piece of humanity. We lose a piece of ourselves, because I do believe that we're all interconnected. Whether it be from some divine creator or, you know, the initial energy that we all started from, that, you know, we're all part of, you know, the stars, the everything that makes up everything. We're all interconnected. And somewhere along the line, people found things like greed and hate and discontent. They figured out ways that they could hurt each other. Some figured out ways that they could help each other. And it's been a continuous battle, continuous struggle between good and evil, you know, from the time of the dawn of mankind, you know. Man first picked up a stick and figured out that he could whop his brother on the head, you know, and cause him discomfort or pain or maybe even death. We talked about paying it forward here on the Knights of the Round Table. We talked about so many different subjects. There's also another little cool picture up there on the Knights podcast page over on ShazizRadio.com that has a nifty little picture of a squirrel in a little suit of armor. He's got a little sword and shield and all that, and it says, even the smallest knight can make a difference. If we're to make this world a better place, it's not going to come about by any representation of the world. You know, we are the representatives. We're the ones that's got to represent humanity by our own actions, by our own, you know, ways that we treat one another. You know, for the most part, I feel like that at least on all these networks that I've mentioned here, is that I'm preaching to the choir of these folks, because they already get it, you know. They're always trying to figure it out. Maybe sometimes we're not on the same page, and we don't actually try to get to the same destination down the same roads. And maybe sometimes we have little disputes amongst each other, like families always do. I think that all this that's going on in the world, and all the struggle and all this, I listen to folks out there that talk about common sense all the time, which in this world isn't so common anymore. Are we going to basically allow the kings and queens of the world to steer this boat down a path that is definitely to lead to sure destruction, or are we going to step up to the plate and do what it takes to make this all happen right? It's hard to say, because the task is so extremely overwhelming. If you buy into whatever the mainstream media is saying, if you buy into all the war propaganda, and this guy's done this and that guy's done that, and you can't go to one TV station or radio station or another without getting a different opposing point of view. And sometimes the way that they deliver their message is not only hateful, hurtful, and disrespectful, it's just downright mean. You know, this holiday I got my family coming over and we're going to have turkey together and some, you know, nice food and companionship, and we're gonna count our blessings and say our prayers and all that, and our thanks and all that comes along with the holidays. And I wish that feeling could just kind of go around the world. I wish that feeling could be shared by everybody on this globe. I wish that there was a way to stop time long enough for everybody to just stop and take a breath. Step back and look at the big picture. You know, where do we want to take this boat? You know, it's kind of like the world is on a road trip. You know, we're in the bus, we're driving along, everybody's getting cranky, and everybody's uncomfortable, and they're starting to argue with each other and maybe even getting close to getting a fight, and there's a prophet of wisdom driving that bus. So he pulls over off to the side of the road and he walks everybody over to this trash pile that he happened to notice as he was going down the road. Pulls over there and walks in front of this trash pile and he points his finger out. Just stand there, doesn't say nothing, just points into the center of that trash pile. And to everybody's amazement, in the middle of this trash pile, there's this really beautiful flower just growing there. And everybody just stops just long enough to take all that in and to see the beauty that came sprouting up right through that trash. The nature could take the worst possible thing and make it beautiful. I think that's what's in the heart of all the individuals that live out here in this world. You know, there's sayings out there. You make lemons. If life deals you lemons, you make lemonade. You know, maybe sounds it sounds sort of cliche or whatever the word is I'm looking for. I think that every once in a while, there's a movie out there, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. Go out there and watch that movie. He's talking about how you need to, every once in a while just slow down and take a breath and look at life. I got a wonderful friend over there. And he just threw me a message up in one of the chats. It says, live life and love it as best as you can, buddy. Some powerful words on the radio tonight. It does go around the world, mate. I am feeling it on the other side of the planet. You know, I know my friend's heart. And I know he's a wonderful soul. I got a lot of good friends out there, a lot of wonderful people that are involved in the Knights of the Round Table and have done amazing shows. If you haven't had an opportunity to go listen to some of the old podcasts of the Knights of the Round Table, I encourage you to check it out and pass those podcasts around to your friends. Words of wisdom, because if you got somebody out there who's feeling down and thinks that the whole world is just total trash, let them listen to what people have said from all over the places, from Ireland to Scotland to France to Canada, you name it. All over the world, people coming together. That guy standing on the other side of the world, he's just like me, man. Him and I being in the same town together, we'd have a good old time and we'd just live life, man. We'd just live it. There's people like you all over this world. The people like you that believe in the dream, the ultimate, heaven on earth, utopia, so to speak. You know, it's obvious that humanity's so much in a mess right now that we're not going to reach no heaven on earth or utopia in our lifetime. But if somehow or another we can plant the seeds of peace, hope, and love, and common sense that will blossom into the future fruit for all of humanity, then that's what it's all about. You know, regardless of what you think about the Holy Bible, I look at that as somebody in the past that's seen, you know, a cycle of whether it be violence or, you know, people going down the wrong path and come together and they put these words of wisdom down in a book, you know, in stories and in parables. So whatever you think about it, you know, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, it's neither here nor there. The message inside there stands true, that this is things that, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, all that kind of stuff, common sense. But sometimes the world needs to be shooken up with a little bit of common sense. Sometimes the world needs to be pointed out how easy it is and how wonderful it is to love thy neighbor and be a friend to somebody in need. You know, with all the blessings that I feel like that life has given me, and, you know, I've had my share of heartaches, had my share of sorrows. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And it has definitely profoundly affected my life. Just like I'm sure that there's so many out there that have been affected by their life. You know, you go out there on places like Facebook and people will put these nifty little sayings out there, you know, words of wisdom. Somewhere behind the scenes, somebody saw this and felt it worthy to, you know, put out there words of wisdom. I like to call those folks prophets of wisdom, even if it's only for a brief moment. This world doesn't have to be what it is. You know, in my belief, my spiritual journey, Genesis, it talks about we were created in God's image. Which to me, I take words literal, you know. If we're created in their image, in God's image, then that must make us creators. And when you think about it, you do create your own pain. You create your own suffering. You create your own destiny. And when I say, you know, you as just you alone, I'm not just talking about you alone. I'm talking about you, humanity. Each and every one of you have the power to do something good for somebody or something bad for somebody on a daily basis. Going back to on the Knights of the Round Table, that one picture on there that says, every new day comes with new hope and a chance for a better world. The choice is up to you. You can make a difference. Join the Knights in the quest to make it so. Knights, not some sort of powerful army that's running around and conquering the world, you know. But an idea. You know, there was Dr. Martin Luther King back in the day. He said, I have a dream, you know. And there were so many prophets of wisdom throughout the entire history of mankind that would stand up and they would see all the things that were going on in the world and they would say words of wisdom that would stand out. Little phrases that you would remember. Peace, hope, and love, you know. Love is forever, the acronym for life. There ain't nothing in this world that we together couldn't accomplish if we exercise the power of love. There's nothing we couldn't accomplish. And there's so much brilliance out there, so much wisdom. I've watched some guys out there in the alternative energy community just excel in what they were interested in. You know, Ryan over there at Abrams Lab, he's an artist. And he's a good artist. You can see it in his videos if you pay attention. You know, it's not just a guy playing with high voltage and stuff like that, but he puts a little creativity with the music that he puts in the background. And he takes an idea and he makes it something. You know, guys like Terry Woodruff over there, you know, these guys have talent. They have, they're doing things and they're sharing ideas with one another that are complementing each other and making things to where people step back and they look at what these two guys are doing and it's like, wow, you know? And it doesn't stop there. The very first person that I ever really looked at in the alternative energy community that, you know, I subscribed to on YouTube was Muddy Muddy Mudman. And I watched a video. He's got a video out there, Coffee Can Stirling Engine, I believe is the name of it, something to that effect. But I watched how meticulously he went through this whole deal and how he showed everybody how you can take some old junk and you can turn it into something that works. A functioning device. And I was impressed. I tried to get a hold of him. It took me a while, but man, the very first time I talked to him on the phone, it was like talking to a rock star. Ain't no joke. I felt honored to be talking to him. I remember exactly where I was at, you know. But it's just a small testament of just one little bit of life of what two people can accomplish together. There's so much out there, and so many possibilities. And you yourself, man, it really bothers me whenever I hear people that talk themselves down. You know, some people are their own worst critics. They'll be a prophet of wisdom and not even know it. And they'll be out there trying to benefit life, whether it be spreading a good word or just being a good friend or a good listener. And as you listen to them talk about themselves, they've been totally indoctrinated and told, you know, stay down, slave. Don't ever step out of line. You know, you have to conform to the norm or whatever it is that we say. You have to be the one that wears those fancy shoes. If you ain't wearing these shoes over here, then you're just a bum. Things like that. But the true value of what I see when I look at that individual is, don't insult my intelligence by insulting yourself, because I see your gifts, I see your talents, I see your skills, I see your love. And I wish that everyone out there could see one another like that. You know, you yourself are so important. But that person standing next to you is just as important. That is another piece of the puzzle. That's that one person standing outside of the circle that we call the Knights of the Round Table, you know, or humanity. I do believe in the dream. I believe that all men and women are created equal under the eyes of God. I believe that we're all full of potential. I believe that we're all been given gifts. Of course, obviously, you weren't given the gift to sing, and you weren't given the gift to dance, and you weren't given the gift to be the good mechanic or the best carpenter. But each and every one of you together were given gifts that, if you step back and look at the big picture, you put this gift with that one and this piece of puzzle over here. And now you can actually see the big picture and you can make it work. To me, that is the common sense of it all. You know, somebody said in the chat room, Anonymous, to ignore a problem is to be unprepared for the result. We can't ignore problems in this world. You know, when I drive down the road, I remember back in the old days, there was a song called "There Isn't Nothing Wrong with the Radio." There ain't nothing wrong with the radio. And the whole concept of that song was, if you keep the stereo up loud enough, you don't hear that squeaky wheel going on. So you don't ever have to worry about fixing it, you know. But eventually, while you got that stereo up, something's got to give, you know. Bearing wears out, something's got to give. A lot of people in humanity have been driving around with the stereo blasting because they don't want to know what's going on out there. Because if you know what's going on, like all these people out here in this these networks, the radio hosts and the listeners, they know what's going on. And so now they feel compelled to go out and do something about it. The rest of the world's driving around with the stereo blasting. You know, out of sight, out of mind. If I don't know about it, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fix it. I can just enjoy my life and that's that. Would be so easy for me to just up and walk away, to shut these computers down and then never speak my words of wisdom. Never share the knowledge that I've learned throughout my entire lifetime with anybody else out there in this world. It would be so easy just to walk away if I weren't compelled to come back. It's like, this world is my anchor. We're all in this boat together, you know. If I'm in the back of the bus and you're in the front of the bus fighting and somebody hits the driver in the jaw and we all go off in a ditch, we do it together. Regardless of how far back in the bus I'm at, I'm going for that ride with you. And so here I am, 49 years old, just getting ready to touch up on 50. You know? And I see, I'm going to leave this world someday. When I do, do I want people to look back and say, you know, that old Shaziz was just a freaking nut? Do I want to leave behind for my children and my grandchildren a world that is just a mess? I'm that bus driver that stood on the side of the road pointing his finger out there and I'm saying, look in the middle of that trash pile, there's this beautiful flower sitting there. So this world isn't all bad after all. It's not a total loss as long as there's beauty still there to get. My grandpa used to say this all the time, and I never really got it until I got older. He said, one man's junk is another man's treasure. You know, what you think is total trash, somebody else sees something that they can pick up and dust off, put up on the mantle for everyone else to share. Prophets of wisdom in this world are everywhere. They're around the corner. You know, if you sit down and you talk to somebody, try this sometime. You might be so busy in life that you just go from place to place and, you know, out of the kindness of your heart, you'll say hi, you know, hey, I'm in a hurry and I'm going to get on down the road and this and that. But maybe you ought to just stop for a second. Maybe you ought to just sit down. Maybe you ought to just close your mouth and open your mind and heart and ears and just listen. Listen to that message that somebody's trying to give you somewhere in this world. Even if it's just to listen to their stories, to hear their struggles, just to open your heart to know that here I'm listening to this guy and his world sounds terrible. My world isn't that bad anymore. And knowing that my world isn't that bad anymore, I think I might just want to try to benefit this individual, because when I was talking to this individual, I noticed that their clothes was a little torn. Because as you're watching and you're paying attention and you're absorbing everything about your friends and your neighbors and your family, You can see the need. You don't have to ask. You can see it. In my closet, I've got a few old clothes that are still almost like brand new, some of which I haven't even worn yet. And I believe it's the same size as this individual that I'm talking to. Somewhere in the world that somebody needs a coat. You've got a lot of coats in your closet. The little kids have outgrown, you know. You've got things stored in your garages and all over the place. Up in the attic. That you could move around. You could take and benefit somebody else's life. During a holiday season or during the normal seasons of life. You can do something. There's a whole lot of power there. And I'm not talking about power for self-glory or gratification or anything like that. I'm talking about power to uplift the human spirit, the soul. A person's life. Power to give them a warm pair of shoes so that they can walk down that terrible road that they're having to walk but around at least with some sort of semblance of comfort. The words coming up out of your mouth. If you think that the power of the spoken word isn't powerful, you go talk to the individual who has been told all along that they're ugly, that they're fat, that they're skinny, they're stupid. And they've been told that so much that they are starting to seriously question themselves. Is it true? I'm no good for this world because I'm ugly. I got big ears. I got a big nose. I got big feet. No, brother, sister. That isn't the true you. Distortions in what one person sees from another, that isn't the true you. The heart that beats within your chest, the glow, the aura that surrounds you. That's the true you. The choices and the actions that you take out there in this world to either make or break this world, that is the true you. All the rest of this stuff is just, it's just lipstick on a pig. That was a real redneck thing to say, wasn't it? But in reality, George, you can make yourself all as beautiful as you want, but eventually nature's gonna take it all. Everything's gonna droop. It's gonna sag. What you don't use, nature always takes back. Such is the cycle of life. I believe that the Knights of the Round Table is a worthy cause. I believe that all these individuals out there, including yourself, are a worthy cause. I believe that getting up early in the morning to speak to somebody who's getting ready to go to bed at night and putting some sort of positive message of hope into their heart and mind is a worthy cause. I believe that when wisdom is there and you have access to it in your mind, when you recognize that something is wise, that you should stand up and be a prophet of wisdom and speak those words to somebody else. If you can uplift a spirit, if you can benefit anyone, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, a total stranger, then you make this world a better place, one positive pebble at a time. That, to me, is what it's all about. That's why I spend my time here talking on this computer out to the world. We are by no means helpless. are definitely under attack. That's blatantly obvious. You know, those folks out there, you say, can't we all just get along? And everybody says, oh, hell no. We can't do that. It's no fun. What would the world be if there wasn't no drama? So on and so forth. Well, I think the world would be a little bit more peaceful and everybody could relax a little bit and breathe a little easier if there wasn't so much drama in the world. If there wasn't so many stories of people running around shooting each other and bombs and terrorists behind every bush and all the propaganda that they use, you know. Go out and read things such as the Georgia Guidestone where it talks about, you know, bringing the population down to a certain level. Well, that means killing off billions of people. There's only a few ways you can do that. And they all entail violence. They all entail taking away pieces of the puzzle that would be necessary to free all of humanity. You are Superman. And you're Superwoman. It's time to jump up there and do what it is that you're capable of doing. It's time to jump up there and use the power of the spoken word, the power of your actions, the power of the pen, the power of your love. It's time for you to do it. The rest of us out here are making an attempt to do so. Have we went as far as we could have gone? Only time will tell. But there ain't no plant out there that ever grew without somebody planting the seed. No fruits were ever born without somebody planting a seed. See, the initial garden was started by the amazing creator, the most amazing gardener in the history of time itself. And it was up to us, after all that, to be the caretakers, to keep it all going. Your community is your garden. Your family is your garden. And all the future generations are the fruits of your labor. I do believe in the dream. I do believe. I think that together there's nothing in this world that we can't accomplish. I do believe that if we can put all the hate and discontent and all the craziness aside, I do believe that this world could literally, we could together create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Not under some one world government. Not under some king. But under a one world idea, a dream, the same dream you have for your children, the same dream you have for yourself, everyone prospers, everyone takes care of one another. When your neighbor falls down, you reach down with your hand and you pick them up. You help dust them off and you help them back on their journey. It's all simple, man. At least in my mind. I start off with a little bit of a music break. Humbling tune right here. The Eagles, Dust in the Wind. It'll make you feel insignificant, but if you think for a second and you can feel insignificant, you can remember that there's somebody else out there in this world that feels insignificant. We are just dust in the wind. And so why spend all the time trying to build ourselves stairway to heaven? Why can't we make the best of now and make this world a better place? It's up to you. starts with you.
the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table on Shazoo's Radio and multiple other networks out there. Trying to throw a fish net out there and see how many of the knights we can gather up to join in on this conversation and maybe take the conversation wherever it leads. You know, speaking of where things go, you know, if you live your life and you lead by example, when you come across somebody else who's been on a totally different journey than you, a totally different spiritual journey or whatever, don't try to convince them where they've been deceived in their world or where they went wrong or whatever. Just tell your story. It's as simple as that. Just tell your story. Tell everything from your point of view, from what you've seen, things that you've experienced on your journey through life. And somewhere in the middle of the discussion will come up between the two of you. You'll figure it out, stepping back and look at the big picture, where things went wrong, where things went right. If you have an opportunity to be one of those prophets of wisdom to share something good to the world, then please, by all means, do so. It's a wonderful feeling when you can uplift somebody else's life. You know, I don't understand individuals out there who want to control people's lives. I don't understand greed or corruption. You know, it's kind of weird because in some weird sense, I can see the elite of the world wanting to do things the way they do. I can almost visualize what's going on in their mind, why they would do the things that they do in order to, some people say, the ends justify the means. The ends don't always justify the means. You know, if it entails harming somebody, You know, I always say no peace has ever came from the end of a barrel of a gun. It's only destruction comes out the end of that barrel. And so with that said, a little bit of common sense would dictate that if you're the one pulling the trigger, you're the one causing the destruction. You know, they talk about going out peacefully protesting. You can't peacefully protest in this world. There's too many knuckleheads. Too many people who are out there supposedly to serve and protect you, who would be willing to pepper spray you. Move along, you can't stand there on that sidewalk. Well, why not? Why can't I stand on this sidewalk? Why can't I stand anywhere in this world that I so choose? The Creator gave me this world just as well as He gave it to you. You know, there's a song out there, Signs. What gives anyone a right to put up a fence to keep me out or to keep Mother Nature in? And if God was here, He'd tell it to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner. Those are the kind of songs. Those are the kind of songs that I like. What kind of songs do you like? What kind of world do you want? There's really nothing that any of us can do but say sorry for past aggressions in this world. That's it. There's nobody who can go back and fix it. There's nobody who can change it. There's nobody who can take your wrongs off your back. Now, in my own personal spiritual journey, that's the whole purpose of the story of Jesus Christ and His life, was that He was there to take those off your back, to give you a path back to God. In your personal spiritual journey, it might be something totally different. But I'd like to hear your stories. I'd like you to tell your stories. Write them down. Put them up on a page on Shaziz Radio. Get on the Knights of the Round Table. Well, I'm trying to bring a couple people up in here. I'll just give it a shot and see what I can do. Do 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 do. All right. How you doing, Justin?
Good, good. I couldn't host a call for you because I'm not an administrator two nights at a round table.
Yeah, you don't have to be. Anyway, hold on. I'll try to get Devlin up in here. We're live.
Okay.
Sue. Have you been listening in? No?
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. It was letting me add people that aren't in the Knights of the Round Table.
Have you been listening into the show?
No. No, just...
So you have no idea. You're lost. You have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about.
No, sir.
Alright, well, I think I just tried to add Devlin and something occurred there. Let's see if Devlin comes up in here. Let's see if he's been listening in. Alright, well, I don't know. Devlin, if you're there, I can't hear you yet, brother.
I'm here, I hear you.
Alright, you're in that old sewer pipe over there in, where are you at again now? Hello, echo chamber.
Yeah, I'm in Spain.
Spain, there you go. He's in the hallway in Spain.
Something like that, yeah. I'm in the sewer pipe.
Oh, man, yeah, it sounds like you're talking down the center of a storm drain, but it's all right, brother. So, have you been listening into the show?
Oh, yeah, listening, good stuff, keep going, you're doing great.
Well, what do you...
I thought I'd explain to everybody my theory of how to reconcile the flat earth theory with the round earth theory.
Well, let's hear it.
you get that?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, well, I've been looking a lot recently at these guys who are talking about the flat earth and the problem of the flat earth. I don't know, have you seen any of the stuff on YouTube yourself about the flat earth?
No, but I know the concept.
Yeah, well, they do bring up some very interesting problems with the round earth, in that the round earth, for example, in the 18th century, some guy thought, okay, if the world is round, we'll prove it. It's pretty easy. You go out to a canal, a six-mile-long canal, you put a rowing boat on it, it rows away from you, and at 6 miles, you're looking at it through a telescope. Now, the telescope is placed 1 foot above the water, and at 6 miles, because of the curvature of the earth, the rowing boat should be below the horizon and you shouldn't be able to see it. And the trouble is, you can still see the rowing boat and the guy rowing. So that's a bit of a conflict there. So as early as the 18th century, the round earth theory was running into problems. I don't know if you've heard about that problem.
Well, I have some ideas when it comes to, like, whether or not the Earth was actually spinning, because, you know, like, for example, you go from U.S. to Europe or whatever, as you're flying out there, you know, against the spin of the Earth, then you would think you would get there just a little bit faster than you would on the return trip, if the world was actually spinning in one direction.
Oh yeah, there's another bunch out there who say that the rest of the universe actually revolves around the Earth, as opposed to the Earth revolving around the Sun. But anyway, I'm a kind of a person, I try to look at things from the... Because in the time of Einstein, there was two schools of thought. There was a school of thought that light was a wave, and there was the other school of thought light was a particle beam and it went in straight lines. And you were either in one camp or you were in the other. And the two camps didn't get on too good with each other. Einstein, so they say, I don't know if it was true, whether he just copied from somebody else or whether he devised it, but he came up with the logical idea that, well, let's try to make light wave a wave and a particle at the same time, and marry both schools of thought. And he succeeded in that. He looked at the theory of relativity he came up with. He said, if light is a wave, what does it look like if you run alongside of it? So the genius was in the question. It wasn't in the answer. The question is, what does light look like if you run alongside of it? So what he figured out very logically is that light is a light wave, and say I was looking at you and you were waving at me and I moved away from you at the speed of light, you'd stop moving because I'd only received the last light signal that was hitting my eyeball. You know, so that married up the particle problem and the light wave problem at the same time. Now, so I like to look at the flat earth guys because they pointed out some very interesting inconsistencies that apparently if the world was round and the skies were, the stars were flying around and so forth and so forth, they would have to, the universe that we're in would have to be moving faster than the speed of light for this whole thing to happen, right? And they arrived at the conclusion that that's not possible. Well, going back to the theory of light, there is one theory, which is if you travel just below the speed of light, say you're a 1 foot long ruler and you're traveling just below the speed of light, at that speed your 1 foot ruler will only be a fraction of an inch long. If you reach the speed of light, you'll have absolutely no length, but you'll have infinite mass. So my theory is it possible that the Earth and the Sun and all our chunk of the universe is moving through the universe at pretty close to the speed of light? If that was the case, the Earth would be, instead of 25,000 miles long diameter, or circumference, it's about 9,000 miles in diameter, would only be a fraction of an inch in diameter. Right?
I'm with you.
And now, this would mean that when the part of the planet that you're on would always be flat. Right?
Yeah.
The part of the planet that I'm on would always be flat. And the part of the planet that somebody else was on would always be flat. So if somebody was up in the North Pole, Santa Claus or whatever, as far as he's concerned, the planet is always flat. Because it is flat. Because it's flattened by the speed of, nearly at the speed of light. And the guy in the South Pole, he would look at the world, and as far as he's concerned, and from his real point of view, the world would be completely flat. Because the Earth is traveling at the speed of light. And at that point, it's flat all around. At the same time, it would be round. If you got into a spacecraft, jumped off, and you went into orbit, it would always be round. But you would actually realistically be flying over a flat planet. You know what I mean?
Well, it's definitely an interesting concept, because the perception of the world and how everything goes, depending on the individual, for example, you know, if you're on a merry-go-round spinning around, the world looks a whole lot different than it does when you're stationary. And so, you know, I can see where if we're flying through time and space at the speed of light, or who knows, possibly even faster than that, you know?
Maybe even faster, yeah.
Yeah. That,
well, it would explain what's called the expanding Earth theory. You know, in the time of the dinosaurs, apparently the Earth was half the size it is presently. It had about the same gravity as the planet Mars. And if you look at South America and Africa and the way they joined together, it's not plate tectonics that made them get further apart. It's the Earth is like a balloon. It expands and expands and expands and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, is it possible that if we're traveling faster than the speed of light, then not only are we somewhat flattened to some extent by some sort of effect, but also as we change speeds, go faster or slower, that the world contracts, gets bigger and smaller in size? Because definitely all the evidence points to the Earth was half the size it was when the dinosaurs were around. I mean, dinosaurs couldn't possibly live today and walk around. Their bones wouldn't be strong enough to support their weight. So either gravity was half the gravity, or the Earth was half the size. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all fascinating. You know, there's so many questions, so many mysteries of the universe to be unlocked. It's just, you know, when I started off the show, I started talking about how to make this world a better place, and how important the individual is, you know. These questions that we keep asking one another, that we keep searching for where we came from, how it all started, whether the Earth is flat or the Earth isn't flat, you know, they're just, they're part of the mystery that we, I believe, as humanity could solve working together, you know.
Oh yeah, well, this is what I always say. Having studied the people in the business, you know, the Newton guys and the Einstein guys, and that, it's nearly always the question they ask that automatically suddenly supplies the solution. So the genius you're looking for is the question. It's not the answer. It's the question. If you don't ask the right question, you're never going to fall into the answer. So, I mean, even if I'm wrong that the Earth is moving through the speed of the, close to the speed of light or faster than the speed of light or whatever, it's the question, you know. I mean, who's to say that the Earth isn't moving through the universe at the speed of light?
Well, what I gather from the whole question itself that you're talking about is that by asking that question, you open the mind, you open the human mind to potentials outside of what we've been told to be the norm. You know, this is what I'm talking about. This is bringing that creativity to the surface and having that kind of talk with the world, you know? What if? What could we do?
I was on a whole load of people here on the show today, and, you know, great minds, and, you know, okay, I mightn't have the solution, I mightn't have the real question, but it might trigger the real question in their mind, and they come up with the real question, which flies overnight the real answer, you know. So that's why I don't care less. I'll fire out the question. You know,
well,
is the
Earth
moving through the universe at close to the speed of light, or fast to the speed of light, or...
That's what's fascinating about the Knights of the Round Table, is that all these things are welcome at the table, because it's, you know, this show has literally, every single time we put together the Knights of the Round Table, has taken on a life of its own. It is actually moved towards, you know, making the world a better place by putting people's mind in a state of a frame of mind that they're thinking, you know. They're actually using that mass we call the brain to start seeking solutions, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Oh, yeah, that's why I love your show. That's why I try to check in. I couldn't check in the last couple of weeks. I was traveling across Europe, through France, through Andorra, through Spain. I'm back in Spain again. But it's just too unreliable, the internet connections, to be driving along, going into McDonald's and trying to use those places.
Yeah.
Various, you know, I had to visit people, and then I was caught up in snowstorms in Andorra, and putting on chains to fight my way through the snow, and God knows. But it all ends up well. I'm down in nice, sunny, warm Malaga again in Spain. And I also had a car accident back a couple of weeks back in Ireland. You know, some guy rear-ended me, so I had to get another car and get back on the road. So a bit of a hectic last few weeks, but I think I'm stabilized now, and hopefully be able to check into more shows and see how things are going.
Well, that's cool. You're always welcome here, brother. You got a lot of insight and knowledge and some research that you've done in the past that's been beneficial the whole step of the way, you know. That's, you know, I can't say it enough. I appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody who comes on the Knights of the Round Table. You know, this is what it's all about. You know, information and opening minds and hearts to the world. You know, potentials of what could be. If the Earth is flat, we can still make it a better place. If it's round, we can still make it a better place, you know?
Oh, yeah. But definitely people should not ignore what these flat earthers are saying. I mean, they're pointing out some serious issues, you know, like, I mean, initially I thought, you know, looking at it, yeah, I mean, these guys are off the wall, but, you know, let's look at what they got to say. You know, maybe they know something, you know, maybe there is something. Now they got some wacky solutions as how the world works and how the sun goes around, and I'm not saying I buy all that, but they did point out some serious inconsistencies with the round earth solution.
You've seen the movie The Matrix, I'm sure, and you've seen Star Trek, The Next Generation, and all those movies where they got a holodeck or everything is all computerized. So who's to say we ain't just a computer program, you know?
Well, there are scientists saying that now, that we're, you know, is it possible that we're in some sort of matrix, and that it's all just a matrix, but I don't really buy that. But, you know, at the same time, I'll read the stuff and look at it and try to see how it all meshes together, and, I like the question that they're posing, you know, are we in a 3D matrix or a 2D matrix?
Just out of curiosity, where are you at right now?
Unfortunately, I'm in a very noisy place.
Sound like people moving around tables and stuff.
Unfortunately, that's what happens. Even though they're about 30 feet away from me, typical Spanish bar, the floor is tiles, the walls are tiles, the roof is tiles. So even if you got, it's only like three people in this section, me and a couple down the other end, you know, even though they're 30 feet away, the echoes just bounce around in this tube of mine, this sewer tube of mine. Yeah. You see, that's what the Spanish like. They like noisy places. It makes even a place that has only a half a dozen people sound like a rave party of 10,000 people.
Does anybody around you speak English?
No, I'd say most of them might speak functional English, like, you know, hello, goodbye sort of English, but most of them would be the Spanish.
I was going to say, it'd be kind of neat for you to just go grab somebody up and then tell them they're on the radio and then see what they have to say.
No, in Spanish, they do their own thing. They wouldn't even know what you're saying. You know, it's very... the Latin logic is very me, if you know what I mean. It's like, for example, if you're in France and you suddenly were standing in the street, you took all your clothes off, people might look for a second and say, what the hell is that? And then they say, well, it's not my problem, and they walk away. They just wouldn't pay any attention to it. Because it doesn't fit into my logic of what's going on. Now, in Germany, it's totally different. If you stop and you bend down to tie your shoelace, the six people will stop and look at you. I mean, yeah, because that's the way they're programmed in school, is to watch the other guys, the other people. Because, you see, it wasn't Hitler that did this. It was hundreds of years. Originally, Germany was a little, lots of little provinces or little places like Saxony and Prussia and various places like that. And none of them really trusted each other, even though they were Germanic. So when Prussia would join up with Saxony and places like that, you know, and a Saxon would go into Prussia, they'd be looking at him. And if he went to work at 5 o'clock every morning, they would notice it. And if he started going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'd send a letter to the local police and say, Johnny so-and-so from Saxony, you always used to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning and suddenly going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Just thought I'd let you know. You know what I mean?
Wow. I want to go back to something profound that you said when you was talking about how they, I think you said in one country they would just kind of look at you for a second and then go on about their business because it, you know, it was outside of their bubble. And then on the other one they'd stand around and look at you. That, to me, brings to mind a scene from like in The Matrix or something like that, you know, where, you know, Neo in the deal, he was walking around, but nobody could see him. No, you know, he could interact with them if he wanted to, but for the most part, it was just programs running on in the background. You know, kind of like in the holodeck inside the Enterprise on the Star Trek show. But it's, they say life imitates art, and then boy, if that ain't the truth, because if you look out there in this world. You know, there's a term that everybody uses about being awake. You know, I'm awake, and so I'm watching the world as it's going around, and we're sitting here trying to figure out whether the earth is flat or whether it's round or what's important and what isn't important. Meanwhile, around us, all over the place, are other individuals living in their own little bubble that unless somehow or another you step into that bubble, they don't even know you exist. They don't even know there's an issue in the world. Some people don't even know who their own leaders are, who their own president or parliament member is, you know. And, you know, wow. It's just, you see what I'm trying to say here?
Oh, yeah, look, I mean, Spain is the ultimate. I mean, I think they're down to now one daily newspaper. And I don't even think 10% of the population looks at it. They probably don't know who the Prime Minister of Spain is. And they probably don't care.
So,
but in some ways, I admire them for it, because in some ways it means that they're less likely to end up following some sort of Hitler character.
Yeah.
You know.
So when I was talking... When I was talking earlier, I had used a phrase called prophets of wisdom. You know, these folks who are what we would call awake, that are looking around and they're seeing things that are, you know, lack of common sense, and they have a brief moment of wisdom, and they speak that wisdom out. How many people do you think out there in this world actually pay attention and listen to one another long enough to figure something out?
Unfortunately, it's quite small because, well, as we know, the New World Order has taken control of education. And you see, the New World Order discovered something very quickly. It's the question that causes the problem, right?
Well, that would make perfect sense, because every time we question the norm, we come under attack.
That's right. So, they made damn sure that all education does not give the concept of the question. You know, questions are an irritation, questions are not to be questioned, and, you know, this is the way it is, it's always been this way, this is the way, yada, yada, yada. You know, it's take your programming and don't question. Now, if you check the communist model, that's exactly what communism is about. Communism is, it's the solution, and you take the medicine and don't ask any questions.
Well, I think that's why I gravitate to people like yourself and Justin here, you know. And
oh,
people,
yeah, Justin's great. Justin and me have great chats at times.
People out here that think outside the box, you know. And,
yeah.
And when we see the world the way it is, and the way that our supposed representation, our leaders of the world, are actually running this world and basically making a mess out of everything, and we speak common sense and become those prophets of wisdom, that we sit there and we tell people, you know, hey, there's a better way than suffering, you know, there's a better way than starving, or there's a better way than war, or, you know, there's alternatives to this type of energy or whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, you see there now what they're doing again with the oil. They're bombing the price of oil.
Yeah, it actually reached $1.99 a gallon over here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's still pretty high here. It's still like $5 the U.S. gallon here.
Well, when I say gas,
but I mean it's dropping every day. The cheapest it can get in Europe, in most places in Europe, is $4 a gallon. That will be the oil companies giving it to us for free. $4 of our gallon is tax.
Wow.
It doesn't matter what price it is. It's going to be, it's something like 60 cents a liter, which works out at, that's euro cents, that works out about $4. So if the oil company gave us petrol for free, you know what I mean, we'd still have to pay $4 a USA gallon.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's most of Europe. I mean, it varies from different parts of Europe. Germany might have to pay $4.50, other places might have to pay $3.50, but that's roughly about where it's at.
Well, when I see fuel prices that low here, it brings back memories of the old days when people used to yell about it getting up that high.
And oh, I know.
Yeah. But
oh, look, don't worry. They have every intention of putting it back up.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
It's standard practice. What they've done is they're deliberately bombing the price of fuel, and it's going to stick the kibosh into any alternative ideas that are out there.
Yeah.
Anything that, you know, the capital going to those new ideas will dry up overnight. And they'll do that. For the next 2 years, you'll see price of oil stay pretty low. And then they'll whack it back up.
I'd like to get in on this one. I believe what they're going to do is they're going to change the school, the grade. We're in school. We're in a grade. We're in a class. For us to move on, they have to create some kind of chaos. And that's what they're doing. They're exploiting it, and they're going to put the world first. Global warming. Oh my God, the world's going to burn up and die. They're going to implement this carbon tax, and they're going to make everything electric. We have electric assist bikes that Yamaha, Audi, Ferrari's making them. They have Formula One electric cars. They have electric go-karts that are like... They have electric KTMs making dirt bikes now. You got Elon Musk that's making all these electric things. For them to implement this, they have to exploit the oil and create chaos.
Well, you know, they've been advertising their intentions on everything from the dollar bill to whatever. You know, the phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum, or what's the other one? E Pluribus Unum, and all those.
Chaos from yes. The order from chaos.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, with that said, I mean, it's, you know, they kind of come up and tell you, hey, I'm getting ready to punch you in the face. You know, stand there and take it. You know,
well,
what I'm saying?
They know that man has no progression right now. So men like you and many other people are doing things on the side because there is no progression. And they know that we're all getting too close to too many things. So for them to let us have that, they have to create that chaos.
Well, and I'm saying that this, you know, I used a little deal in there. I talked about, you know, a bus driver driving down the road with everybody feuding and fighting in the bus. And he happens to notice a pile of trash over there and pulls the bus over and gets everybody out there and just stands there and points. In the center of that trash, there's a beautiful flower standing there, you know. You know, and I believe that's kind of like what we're doing here. We're standing here pointing out, you know, hey, look, you know, you don't have to have all that craziness that these guys are dishing out to you. There is some beauty left on this planet, and it's yours, you know. It, you know, everybody keeps thinking we're slave from birth to grave, but that's only by choice, you know.
We allow that.
Yeah, we don't have to be.
No one could hurt you or harm you in any way unless you allow it.
Yeah, and that's essentially what we're doing. Now, are we advocating going out there throwing a violent revolution? No way. I'm just saying there's no peace has ever came from the end of the barrel of a gun. No matter how hard you try, the ends don't justify the means when you harm somebody else. You know, you're not making the world a better place whenever you go bomb somebody into submission and destroying them and knocking them back into the Stone Age. You're only hindering that process that you were talking about, Justin, about us getting farther in humanity. And these guys at the top that are supposedly the leaders, the ones who designed Georgia Guidestones and so forth, who think that if we bring the population down to a more manageable level that we can have a perfect world. The ends doesn't justify the means whenever you look at the numbers of people on this planet now, all the way up to the fact that you want to bring the number of the people on this planet down to a massively smaller number. Then you're talking about murder. Are you not?
We need guidance. Man is lost without guidance. And if they don't guide man, if you take New York City and you didn't put groceries or food in the grocery stores for 3 days, what would happen to all those neighbors and all those good men? Would they become good men still?
Well,
killing and pillaging and raping on their own? Would they depopulate themselves? Is man that lost?
Well, I would say that because of the way that the people at the top have steered this boat in the time that they had, and the greed and the corruption of, I got to have more power than you, I need more money than you, and now there's never a set amount that's enough, I got to have more, I got to be the most rich and most powerful individual on the planet. Those concepts have steered our society down a road, and then the intentional dumbing down of the people of the world. Then, yeah, if the grocery store goes down, the average Joe can't even fend for themselves. But sometimes, you know, when you talk about order out of chaos, and this is where I say that I can almost for a brief instant understand what they're trying to say, at some time, if you destroyed everything out there, the infrastructures, those who were wise would survive because they would know how to feed themselves. They would know how to clothe themselves. And those would be the most brilliant minds left on the globe. So
I'm not mentioning her name, and I'm not trying to offend any other girls, But I brought a girl one time. I was dating her when I was younger, about 17, 18. Brought a girl camping with me. You know what she packed with her? A blow dryer and high heels.
Well, are you going to plug the blow dryer in that?
you know, like, I'm not trying to say that she's dumb, but come on.
Well, you know, if you look at the average city kid out here nowadays, they don't know how to hunt, they don't know how to farm, they don't know how to do a lot of things. So when the supply stops going to the grocery store, then now they only have to resort to what they know. What they know is that if I need something, I'm going to have to go out and take it by force if necessary in order to survive. And if you want to look at, if let's say you were at the top, the Illuminati, those folks that we call the elite of the world, and you wanted to depopulate the planet, the best way to do it is to shut down their water, shut down their oil supply, yeah. Shut down their internet, take away all communications, take away everything that they need to survive, and they will kill themselves. They'll kill each other.
You only need to take one thing away, what everybody's lost doing. Looking for money. If you took money away and made it have no meaning, that would be it. That's all you have to take away is money.
Well,
people say time is money. Well, money is time.
But if
you're not chasing money and you put your face in a book and you read for once and learn the knowledge to do things, that is money.
But there are those, even without money, would still know the value of food and oil and stuff like that, that could barter and trade their way, so that system wouldn't function as well as it would as if you was to totally destroy the infrastructure. You know, you got everybody dependent on certain things right now, and you take that dependency and use it against them, you could literally destroy societies by the millions.
That's right. I raised my daughter very differently than a lot of other people. I give her $3 every week. I make her give somebody a dollar. I make her put a dollar away, and I make her spend a dollar.
Well, that's a good idea. You know, she's getting a lot of education in that little lesson there.
That's right. We raise our girls to go and find a good man, a doctor or something, so that she could sit at home and he can bring in the good money, and we raise our boys to get that piece of paper, that CNC job or that good schooling, so they can get that hot girl and do all the things that they want. We don't raise our kids with no education at all. It starts with us, not our schooling. It starts with us. My daughter goes to school, but why can't I take the time out 3 hours and teach her on top of her school?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of life skills that the children these days are missing out on because it takes two parents in modern-day society to keep up with the Joneses. If you weren't trying to keep up with the Joneses, that quest for money that you were talking about, or quest for really pretty shiny things, you know, I got a nicer house or a nicer car. If you weren't trying to keep up with the Joneses, and you were spending more time with your family and more time with your communities to actually go out there and try to find out where the needs are and helping those out. If it wasn't all about me, you know, if it was about we instead of just me or I, then we would see a whole different world. And there wouldn't be no reason for the prophets of wisdom to stand up and say, hey, you know, there's a better way than this, you know, take care of your brothers and sisters or whatever, you know. There wouldn't be no reason for us to stand up because the world would be fine. But since it's in the state that it is right now, and you're seeing continuously being bombarded with news and propaganda and doomsday scenarios and so on and so forth, and is this the way the world really is? Is the world really flat? Is it round? Are we flying through space at the speed of light or faster than the speed of light? These are the mysteries of the universe that make this whole thing exciting, you know, to find out, you know, like the whole, you remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? You still there? Ooh, sounds like, yeah okay. No. Well, either way, you know, there's that adventure. There's that adventure to find the hidden secret, the hidden treasure and stuff, and that makes the life exciting. But in the process of being exciting, watch that movie from start to finish and you'll see there's a whole lot of a lot of dirty deeds going behind the scenes to finally get to that treasure, you know? A lot of people trying to stop you or kill you or whatever, you know, the whole journey. And I'm sitting there back here and I'm saying, look, dude, if there's a really cool treasure there, share it with the world, you know? Just share it with the world. And I guess that's too easy, you know? Somebody's got to have it for themselves. Thus is the greed of man. And the greed of man, which would comply exactly with what you said about the quest for money, is the problem. It's why this world is in the state that it is right now, because instead of somebody thinking about we, it's always me or I. You see what I mean? And
yes.
Maybe the communists thought it was a good idea, because, you know, communists, by definition, if you're a communist, you work for the community. It's everybody is equal, everybody gets to, what they need, their needs met, and all that kind of stuff. In theory, it sounded like a good idea, but in practice, the person at the top who had the ultimate power to say yay or nay decided, you know, hey, I don't like this guy because his ideas are not, you know, jiving to what I want done. And then suddenly you got some violence going on. And the same thing with the so-called democracy. The United States never was a democracy, you know. Democracy, essentially mob rules. The United States was set up as a representative republic. We send our representatives to represent us and, you know, hopefully they do a good job, and if they don't, we elect them out of office, and then we try the next crew that comes in. Either way, the ultimate power starts at the bottom. It starts with the we, the people, you know. It's how much will we allow other people in this world to do to other people in this world what they're doing, and to do to us what they're doing. If we want to be a slave from birth to grave, it's by choice. Am I wrong?
Nope.
You know, if you go out there, there's education everywhere. There's potential everywhere. You can learn. You can learn how to go out and hunt. You can learn how to farm. You can learn how to cook, and you can learn how to do a lot of things. Your mind is just you're standing in front of a buffet of knowledge and information. And my buddy Steve out there, he's always calls it the sum of the entire world's knowledge is here on the internet. And man, what you could do with that, you know, if it was used properly, it'd be an awesome tool. But as it stands, so far it's used for a weapon. You know, it's used to make money. There's individuals out there. If you look at the internet is the biggest massive ad campaign in the history of time, the biggest propaganda machine in the history of time. It's also the biggest gathering wealth of knowledge, and it's also the biggest gathering of lies and discontent and hate and love in the same breath. So if there's something you want on the internet, I'm sure you can find it. There's a website out there for just about every subject under the sun. You know, dark, if you like dark, you can find dark. If you like nasty, it's out there. If you like peace and hope and love, it's out there. But where do we all stand at the end of it all? You know, what is the final goal? What is it that we all wish to achieve by what we are doing with our lives? And I'm saying that with the Knights of the Round Table, with me personally, what I hope to achieve with what I'm doing here, I don't want it to all be in vain. I don't want it to be for nothing. What I'm hoping to do is plant a seed of hope, of peace, of love, of decency, you know, respect and common sense for my fellow man and woman around the world, because what's at stake is the life that my children and my grandchildren are going to have to endure through their lifetime. You know, what kind of grandpa would I be if I just sit by and I watch the world go to total crud and not even open my mouth, not be that prophet of wisdom at this time to say something out there that, hey, you guys, maybe we ought to like put our foot on the brake a little bit because we're going just a hair bit too fast and we're missing out on all of it. You see where I'm coming from? What would it be?
Yeah, definitely good stuff there, Shazzy. I'll tell you what might interest you is a show in that we had on the internet radio, People's Internet Radio on Wednesday. A guy called Sean McGuire he has a radio show called How's the Bag. He interviewed the South African guy who's doing this thing called Ubuntu. Apparently the idea is all the people in, say, a village or a town or even a city, you know, it depends how big a setup you set up, get together and they all contribute 3 hours of whatever it is that they do to the project. So say for the sake of argument, you grow cabbages. Well, you supply 3 hours of work of all the cabbages that you produce. And you produce so many cabbages that there's no shortage of cabbages. And you just give them out to all the people who are in what you call the circle. And then maybe somebody else is a shoemaker and he just produces shoes. And another person might be a dressmaker and they produce dresses. And that way there's an incredible abundance of everything without money being part of the system. And it's proving to be very successful in places like South Africa where there is a drastic shortage of money. Because most people don't know that Africa has only got 1% of the money in the world. So,
but they're also probably one of the wealthiest people in the world, but they're being cheated out of their own personal wealth because their natural resources are off the scale, but there's other entities that are keeping them continuously at civil war, continuously in poverty, so that they can't get together and put their side of the world the way that it should be, you know, in fairness.
Oh, yeah, I mean, in Africa, you put food down in the ground. Yeah, I mean, it grows. I mean, the ground is fertile. As I said to people, in Africa, 99.99% of the Africans at any one time are not starving. It's every now and then somebody starts a war or there's some unusual sequence of events, like they used to live down in the River Delta where life was good and food grew easily and the army came in and cleared them all out so that some big cash crop could be done, and they live up the mountains now. And up the mountains every 7 years is a drought, and then they'll starve every 7 years. But that was because they were dispossessed from their land because somebody else arrived with a piece of paper and said, we own it, even though they'd been there 10,000 years. Somebody else had this piece of paper and said, you're now to leave our land. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they have to hike up to less suitable land. And then all this coffee crops and cash crops. I mean, in the time of Ethiopia and all the people starving off the mountains, you could go down into the valleys and you could get in an aeroplane and you could fly for all day at 100 miles an hour over field after field after field of lush green, either coffee crops or tea or some cash crop, mile after mile after mile. And these people are starving up the top of the hills because they got pushed off their land by the army. He said, some guy owns it and he's throwing you off. And up the mountains in Ethiopia, the land's fairly fertile for about 6 or 7 years. And then suddenly for maybe 2 or 3 years it won't rain and they can't support the population. And everybody says, oh, there's too many people in Africa, they're all dying because there's too many. And I said, no, Africa's empty. I mean, You could support 1,000 times the population if they got back the fertile valley that they were thrown out of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And it's a testament to what needs to be done in this world. Because, you know, I said this so many times. If you're leaders in the world, if you think they're doing a good job or you think that they even care about you in the least, you look at their track record. The track record. What have we done? You know, it talks about in that the dream that I wrote that little deal that you can find on the shows and hosts section. There's a copy of it on there. But, you know, why are we taking our militaries, the strength of our militaries, and going over there doing destruction of epic proportions? Why not take that same power, that same strength, and all the finances, instead of going over there bombing the country into submission, go over and build that country up, you know? Wouldn't it benefit the entire world if this country was, you know, in a position to take care of themselves and they weren't angry at the rest of the world?
These are the problems. But the thing is, what's very interesting, I put a link there in the thing. You can listen to the pod show, Out of the Bag. And the guy from South Africa explains, Ubuntu has been very successful in Africa because they have everything there, but they're just not able to find a mechanism to exchange it with each other because they don't have money. So you remove money from the equation and you say, well, I'll give 3 hours of my time and you give 3 hours of your time. And because the ground is fertile and the people are very... Like, if you're making shoes, you'd be amazed how many pairs of shoes you'd make in 3 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's amazing if you're doing 3 hours a week, how many pairs of shoes you'll make in a year, excess to your requirements. You know what I mean? For getting things like money and paying the government tax and stuff like that. And so, very quickly, within your groups, people... They all have shoes, they all have dresses, they all have clothes, they all have food. And so they're no longer spending money on these things. Now they have more money left to start to spend on other things. And eventually the idea is that you remove money from the whole equation. But it's like everything. It's impossible to remove money at the moment because if you want to buy a car from Japan, the Japanese are only going to take money off you. But if every in Japan was on Ubuntu, and every in Africa was on Ubuntu, and every in America was on Ubuntu, there'd be no problem. You wouldn't need cash to buy cars. You wouldn't need cash to buy planes. You wouldn't need cash to buy anything. Because there would just be an excess of everything.
Well, when you talk about the cars and the shoes, one thing that stands out in my mind every time I hear about all that, and I like the idea of what they're talking about there with that system, but one thing that stands out in my mind is I can't drive down the road in the city without finding parking lots full of brand new cars that haven't even been driven yet. You know, they're just sitting on the lot. I also think about all the shoes in warehouses and all the food in warehouses and all the things stored up, you know. Basically, somebody sitting on their gold mine and, you know, all the need in the world. I think that already society has created enough stuff, enough storage, that you could go around and put shoes on somebody and make it a little bit easier for them to work, you know? A little bit easier for them to get up in the morning and go out there in the field and grow their own gardens. You know, it's easier probably to do it, you know, in with shoes on your feet as opposed to barefoot, you know, or whatever, you know? But...
Oh yeah, well, see, this thing about Ubuntu. Ubuntu will generally tend to work in a different kind of way. They'll say there's no point in making a pair of shoes that are going to disintegrate after 10 times you're wearing them. Which is the way most modern shoes are made. They're made to use them 10 times and they break up and you buy another pair. So you'll tend to build shoes that will last longer. It'll be the same with cars. You won't tend to make cars which have a lifespan of 5 years. You'll tend to make cars which are going to go for 20 years.
Well, there's another... Well, what you just said out there...
Too is you will also tend to find with Ubuntu, there won't be a need to you personally owning a car. There might be 20 cars in the village, and anytime you need a car, you just go and take one.
Well,
so you won't need as many cars in the first place, because at any one time, everybody's got a car when they need one.
Yeah, one of the things that you said, words of wisdom right there, Barry's talking about hemp shoes. There's a lot of uses for hemp that you can use. But one of the things that you said right there, we have enough knowledge about materials and things to actually make things that really seriously last. And instead of the shoes falling off your feet, like you're saying with that system, they make the shoes really well so that they last for a long time. Or even the fact of having community cars that people can drive around when they need to go somewhere long distance or whatever.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with private car ownership, but most people, I'd be quite happy if I had access to a community car. If at any time I need the car, I just pop in one and drive it and use it. I'd probably only use the car twice a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They had a community program where they had these blue bikes. I can't remember which town it was, but these blue bikes were set around all over town, and you could just jump on it and take a ride if nobody was using it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that would probably be beneficial to have something like that. Would you guys be opposed to a quick song break / coffee break?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, well, hey everybody out there, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Barry says go out and buy you some hemp shoes because they'll last forever. So with that said, stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. I'll put a couple songs on there. First, I'm going to throw in Molly Hatchet Flirting with Disaster, because that's what I see society doing. And I'm going to throw in Children of the Sun there, Billy Thorpe, because it's a song that would give me time to get some coffee and such. So everybody stay tuned. Peace and love.
Oh, my God. magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Yeah, yeah. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Little light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination. Through the door, to the world, come another time.
Ah! Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh, hey, let's try that. When you push the lock talk mic on, that means you can speak to people outside there. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We've been honored with the presence of Barry Prince, Honorable Matt Barry Prince. How you doing there, brother?
Great. How are you doing? That's pleasure to join you.
Oh, pretty good. We've been having a pretty insightful conversation today, and you were mentioning there on the break about Fukushima out there, and there's all kinds of things that are going on, tons of stuff that need to be addressed. And you also said we weren't talking about fear-mongering, but they are things that definitely need to be talked about, things that the mainstream media ain't pointing out that need to be worked on. You know, with this mess that's going on over there in Fukushima, I think that we could actually do something to resolve it if we actually got together and worked together as we have the actual power to do so. There are solutions, you know. There's a lot of energy potential, even in waste energy of nuclear power plants that, you know, if they'd listen to guys like us out here that, you know, you could actually use that that negative and use it for a positive, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, we need answers, Shazir, because the fact that the mainstream media isn't exposing this the way it should be exposed, like I said in the break there, this should be on the front page of every newspaper on the planet right now, the effect this is having on our ocean systems. It's going to filter right around the world, and it will, unless we come up with solutions. And I'm all ears for solutions, my friend, because what we're laying down right now for our generations to come is just a travesty. And it is going to kill the oceans, and we need to put a stop to it. So I'm all ears. Tell me some solutions. I'm all ears. I really am. The whole world needs to be working on this right now. We need to wake them up.
The first thing that comes to mind is a lack of understanding. I can't understand why, if I was a news broadcaster on one of the major media, and I had took the time to actually do some real investigative journalism, and I noticed that there are things going on in the world, and I questioned my boss, you know, hey, how come we ain't talking about this? If the boss says, well, you can't talk about that, then I would just move on down the road. I'd get me a radio show online and start talking to other people and tell them, look, this is what I found, this is how we can fix it, so on and so forth. But when you talk about all that radioactive waste, there is so much energy potential in radioactive waste that it is just mind-boggling. If these guys would use their science knowledge in their head for common sense, you know, anytime radioactive waste is deteriorating, it's releasing radiation, all right? Well, radiation in too much quantity is obviously not good for the human body. However, in the proper quantity and used to capture that release of energy that is going on, we got enough battery power to run this planet for the next 1,000 years if they divert that into, you know, some cells that instead of boiling water with it and creating the potential of a steam explosion, which is exactly what's been going on, if they use the natural deterioration to pick up that energy. You know, you see this in things like the Slayer Exciter and the Tesla Coil wireless energy transfer. When that decay is going on and those isotopes are interacting with the energy in the air, there's a massive amount of energy being released. And that can be picked up on. I mean, look at a Geiger counter. What's a Geiger counter do? I mean, it picks up the waste energy off of that and tells you, hey, look, there's radioactivity going on here, you know? But why not use that on a massive scale to absorb that energy into a huge coil system to where now you're diverting the energy and draining off of that energy to run all the stuff that, you know, they're always hollering about how we're polluting the planet with carbon emissions and so on and so forth. Well, there ain't no carbon emissions in that deal. All you got is an energy transfer. And it doesn't matter what form the energy comes in. It could be all captured. You can capture radio waves. You can capture acoustic waves. If you just tap into what nature's going, I used this example yesterday on the Mad Science Show. when you get on the river in your canoe, you're not changing nothing. You're not affecting, taking away, or anything. You're just getting on the river, and you're letting nature take you downstream, right? You're along for the ride. Well, the same thing can be applied in alternative energy. If you just let nature do what nature does, you can capture that energy, and you can use that energy without ever even affecting the whole source to begin with. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, of course it is, but you know, they're not going to allow this kind of information to come out without putting up a major fight against it, because it doesn't represent money to the system. We know how the system works. We know the free energy is out there now, and I praise you guys for this show, because you're bringing people's attention to the fact that there is alternatives out there, and it's being quashed by the media, it's being quashed by the powers to be. And that's got to come to a stop. And the more knowledge that gets out there, the more people are going to say to themselves around the kitchen table that, yeah, hey, there is alternatives, and let's start looking at them, let's start applying them. We're doing that up right here in Terrace right now. My son will actually be doing feasibility studies on starting a solar business up here and supplying panels to the community. And he's been doing some, I'll tell you, he's a little firecracker right now. He's kind of woke up, and he's really been looking at solar and studying it. Really looking at it hard. He's got an incredible brain. Like me, he's got an intelligence level that makes me look like a complete dummy.
Tell him while he's looking into the solar to look into alternatives to actual visible light, because you know, heat is light and light is heat, vice versa. So there is a potential to literally build a solar cell that, using the knowledge that you can get from like LEDs and such, you could build a solar cell that would work on the infrared light spectrum, all the invisible light spectrums, that you could have a solar panel that would be so efficient that it would work at night as well as it did in the daytime.
Yeah, he was saying the same thing, Chisholm, because the technology now it's just going so fast that literally, he says, we could bring this into the community, set up panels on people's roofs, and offset their power bill by 70 to 80%. He's talking to a company right now in Germany, Chisholm, and we're looking at an initial investment possibly in around the $15,000 range to set up these panels, and when you set them up, you immediately offset your power by 70 to 80%. You're feeding right into the grid. He's going crazy on this, and he's not up right now. I asked him to get up this morning and have a coffee, but it's pretty cool. Anyway, he's looking into it.
What you said there, if you're offsetting your energy by 70%, the savings could be reinvested into expanding it even further.
Well, exactly. Also, the initial investment of the panel to set it up. Say we're looking at maybe we use $15,000 as a round figure. Well, your average power bills now, power is going crazy. I look at my power bills. If you offset that by 70% and average it over a year, it would take you about 4 years to pay off the system. And then you're offsetting your power by 70, 80% forever. The panels are incredible. He's looking into it. I'm supporting him 100%. We've also got a gentleman in the business here up here that wants to support him on it. So,
well, tell him I'd like to help him out in any way I possibly can with any knowledge that I got access to. So that'd be beneficial.
I'll sure to be hearing from you.
I'd like to get back on this Fukushima thing for a second there, because we are kind of running down on time here as far as the next roundtable go. But you know how your smoke detector works?
Yeah.
Well, if you think about a smoke detector, it has americium in there, which is a radioactive material.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going on in your smoke detector is while that little piece of americium is sitting there, it's decaying, and that energy is being released, which is going up to a sensor on the top. Well, as long as that energy being released isn't interfered with in any manner, then your smoke detector doesn't go off. But whenever you get smoke that goes through there and it interferes with the signal of the energy being released from the americium to the top of the smoke detector, then your detector notices a change in voltage and automatically triggers the siren that you know is the obnoxious noise that goes off when you're cooking. Or at least when I'm cooking. So, knowing that, knowing that that little tiny piece of americium has enough power to run that smoke detector as long as the other portion of the circuit's connected to a 9-volt battery, that it can make the loud noise when you need it, then you know that that energy release can be used for a useful purpose. It can actually be used for getting some physical work done. And so, thinking about all the radioactive waste that's buried underneath the ground, that stuff will continue to deteriorate for its entire lifetime. All right, however long it be, 100 years, 1,000 years, or maybe even more. You could tap into that same energy without having any interactions with the environment, without polluting the environment in any way. You don't have the risk of a steam explosion. And if you think about all the nuclear disasters that have gone out there, right, like the nuclear power plants, the biggest portion of the problem is whenever they have this these rods down inside the water, the energy being released is interacting with the water molecules, creating heat, which in turn creates steam, which in turn runs the turbines. And you have to keep that water cooled down enough to where it's not going to blow up. Otherwise, it's just sitting there deteriorating. It's natural radiation at that point. It's not a problem. Those rods don't sit there and get hot and blow up, you know, on their own. What happens is you boil that water too far, the valves or the pressure system can't handle it, and then you have an accident, and now you threw radioactive water everywhere, in which in turn, once it gets into the ocean, like over at Fukushima, causes a lot of problems. So instead of boiling water with this radioactive material, use that radioactive material to do similar to what the doggone smoke detector is doing, and drain that energy off before it has an opportunity to get into the environment. You see where I'm coming from?
Absolutely. Well, if that technology is there, why aren't they using it, should this?
Well, it is. It's been there. It's been there since day one.
Yeah, okay. Well, they must know of it then. Right? Yep. They must be aware of this. So why is it not being applied? That's a million-dollar question. It's just like, why is it not being exposed on mainstream media? Should it? That's a question that will open up a Pandora's box. And that's something that really, like, I don't want to get off subject here, but that just absolutely drives me crazy that the mainstream isn't telling the public what's going on in the ocean. The fact that I'm reading reports now that we're seeing spikes as high as 5,000 times the level being monitored in the United States of America. This just absolutely astounds me that it's not being exposed, and we've got a call on to expose it, should it?
Yeah.
And people have to be aware of this. They really do. We have to prepare ourselves. This isn't a fallacy. This is actually happening in our ocean. And what can we do right now to stop Fukushima? That's the million-dollar question. My understanding is that they don't have the answers to stop it. All they're doing right now is continuing to pour water on to stop a complete meltdown. But the pores apparently have gone beyond the point of them repairing them.
Well, the first
station four, can you tell me? But from what I understand, there is no answer to the problem right now. Unless I'm wrong, maybe you could inform me on that.
Well,
but,
there's definitely an answer to the problem, but it'll take some people actually paying attention. And what you're saying about the mainstream media, that don't they realize that it's affecting their future children as well? See, the first mistake that they made was putting two chemicals together, two materials together that did not belong together. Water and radioactive material do not belong together, period. There's always a potential for problems there. Because as that radioactive material is deteriorating, it's interacting with the water molecules, which is acting exactly like a microwave oven. It's boiling the water and getting hot. It's like putting lithium or nickel cadmium strips in water, you know, you get an adverse reaction. If they use that energy that's coming off of there, you can drain that energy off as fast as it's coming in, especially with all the people wasting electricity like they do. You know, look at our power grids. We got wires strapped in every different direction, buried under the ground. It's a total waste of resources and energy. When you have an energy potential such as nuclear waste sitting there, and it's just being wasted, it's not even being used. You build the proper system, like going back and thinking about the mercury arc rectifier, plasma reactors, and stuff like that, you can build a system by which you can capture that energy, rectify it into DC current or put it over into AC current, however you want. You can manipulate any type of energy to give you potential. And so our solution in this matter is, first off, stop the bad water from going into the ocean. All right, they got a runaway system right now. You're going to have to separate that water from them rods. That's all there is to it. Because as long as that water is anywhere near them rods, they're going to get hot. They're going to continue to get hot. They got it to the point right now where the cores are literally melting down. They're melting through the ground, through the foundation.
Exactly.
So how are we going to do that? You know, it's going to take all the brilliant minds of this world to recognize the problem, first off, and then get together with a viable solution. Sending people in there in radioactive suits to take measurements every 5 seconds ain't gonna cut it if you ain't got no plan. The plan is right now, let nature take care of it. Right now, it's in a bad state of mind. We got to figure out a way to cool it. Okay, well, how do you cool down something? We have liquid nitrogen. We could go in there, we could freeze that process down instantaneously. You flood that those chambers with liquid nitrogen, and you're going to stop that heat. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so why don't they do that?
Well, I'm saying it's either got to have something to do with they want to keep everybody living in fear, and they want to keep everybody sending their tax dollars in to save, you know, it looks like the problem reaction solution portion that we always hear about. Create a problem, come up with a solution, and go in there and be like Superman and save the world. When in all actuality, they're the ones that caused the problem to begin with.
Exactly.
It's going to take the average Joe to say, hey, look, wait a second. I heard from this guy that there's a potential to cool them things down without using water. You need to get the water away from there. You need to cool that down with whatever resources you have available. If you have tanks of liquid nitrogen, get those over there. Cool that down and keep it cooled down until we get this mess cleaned up. And it all started when they mixed the radioactive rods with that water. As soon as they put that radioactive rods in that water, the process begun, and now you have boiling. The water's boiling away, and as long as you can keep that contained, then you ain't got a problem. But if it gets out of hand, suddenly you have a Fukushima incident where there's an explosion. All right, it's like putting lithium strips in the water. You're going to have an explosion. That's all there is to it.
Well, the world's got to scream for these answers to this, because they're not doing anything about it, and every day, every minute of every hour, every day, our oceans are being polluted, and this stuff isn't going to go away in a week or 2 weeks or 5 weeks or 5 years. This stuff is going to last for thousands of years in our environment, and it's got to come to a stop. I mean, God, man, we're just laying down an incredible legacy for our children right now. Just unbelievable. It tears me apart, buddy. It really does. I look what's going on in our ocean. The most beautiful thing that God ever created on this earth, and we're killing it. And nobody's talking about it. I mean, you turn on mainstream media, and what do you hear about? Justin Bieber, you hear about American Idol. I mean, it's a fallacy, and it's got to stop. I mean, if I was anybody out there that was looking at screen, at our mainstream, saying, hey guys, this is, like you said, this is going to affect their children and their children's children just as much as it's going to affect yours and mine. And by them quashing it, they're cutting their own throats right now.
They're
under orders. We know that they're not allowed to disclose this stuff. It's like everything else that's quashed by mainstream. They're under orders not to disclose this information to the public. But, man, let's get it out there, man. Let's get it out there. This is not something that's going to go away.
It ceases to be a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping from the sky. You know?
Thousands and thousands of our sea life are dying off. And documented that sea life is dying off in an incredible rate that we're seeing. What's the word I'm looking for? Abnormalities in our sea life now like we've never seen before. I was down in Prince Rupert this week talking to fishermen, and they are starting to notice that they're not seeing birds like they used to see. They're not seeing this like they used to see. They're seeing growths on the halibut like they've never seen before. Little growths on the halibut.
Yeah.
I mean, this was documented this year by fishermen in Prince Rupert. Now that community is starting to talk about it. But it's not being exposed. The mainstream media should be all over this. They should be out there. The government should be out there monitoring this, and they're not.
Well, you remember the whole BP oil spill thing?
Yeah.
Well, I told them way back when, you know, when they threw that Corexit down inside there, you know, that's supposed to eat up the oil and basically absorb it up, it all ended up at the bottom of the ocean. I told them they're going to have some problems. They should have never put that out there. They should have used any method. I even drew up a diagram and sent a picture to the President of the United States and say, look, I got an idea how we can clean this up before it gets out of hand. And they're like, oh, well, we're working on it. Appreciate your interest in it. And that was that, you know. But, you know, nobody paid attention. And there were other guys out there sending pictures and ideas in as well, you know, using natural things to solve this problem. That's why I keep saying, we, the people, are not going to get anything accomplished by relying on any representation out there other than we, the people, because it's obvious by their track record, they ain't doing a good job. And if they cared, it would be done.
Well, you mean their track record isn't good, Chizuk?
Oh, their track record sucks, man. Look, my tax dollars put that chuck hole in the road that you ran over.
Well, yeah, I didn't really tax dollars built the FEMA camps, too, buddy. And it's paying for Howard Burton, it's paying for this, it's paying for that. I mean, the money's being spent wisely by the government, as far as I can see.
Well, yeah, you know, you can make a lot of money for the economy if you go out and bomb the crap out of some foreign country.
Well, you're making money from the banks, of course.
You're selling a lot of lead, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you're making a lot of enemies, too.
Well, there's the thing, man. And see, here we are. We're talking about prophets of wisdom. And I believe there's a lot of prophets of wisdom out there if people would just pay attention to them. Instead of electing some jerk over there, old Congressman Bongwater, who's going to tell you, you know, everything you want to hear to get elected, then start paying attention to who you're putting your name down for, you know. If you're going to pull the lever for anybody, make sure that you've done some research and you know what they're about. And then you know that they're going into a corrupt system, then have their back from start to finish. Say, look, you guys suck. We're going to watch this guy, and if you do anything to him, we're going to hold you accountable. You know what I mean?
Well, the people in Ontario are paying for it, should they? They elected the Liberals, and the Liberals are so corrupt, it's unbelievable. The stuff that's going inside that government right now, all I can say is they deserve it. I mean, how can you elect a government that had the gas plant scam going on?
Yeah.
That was all over the news. They're corrupt as hell, covering up information. Now, all the data on the gas plant scandal in Ontario has mysteriously disappeared off all of the government computers.
Yeah, like the IRS letters. They got gone, too.
Yeah, imagine that. Absolute outright corruption. Now it's being investigated by the RCMP. They might be laying fraud charges against the Liberal government. What a crop of crap, man. I watch what this woman's doing. She's just, I'm going to tell you about one more thing here real quick. I'm just going to bring this up real quick, because it's disturbed the heck out of me. It's a new sex education program they're trying to implement Ontario schools. It is absolute bull. Teaching sodomy to 8 and 9 year old children. The gentleman appointed by Kathleen Wynne, the Premier of Ontario, to oversee and implement this program into Ontario schools. The gentleman that's doing this is currently up on pedophilia charges against 6 children.
Well, see, that's disgusting,
right? It's right out of control. Right out of control. It's right in your face. Absolute evil corruption. And right. People aren't seeing it yet, should
they? And people don't believe that there's evil in this world. I'm going to tell you, there's proof right there. There is pure evil in this world. And the only way that you can fight against evil is with good people out there standing up and speaking up whenever it's time to say something. You know, get up and say something. Do something.
It's time to roar, should they?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think we can solve this Fukushima problem if we can get the right ears to listen and the right people motivated. I believe 100% we can solve it. You know, eventually, if the thing is not resolved, we, the people, will die, and the whole entire system will die, but nature will clean it all up, and nature will start over without us, all right? And that's just the way it is. There's nobody tougher than nature. If you think you're tougher than nature, you're going to find out that you're not, because whatever you remember that old deal, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature, because there's a reason behind that. You know, you mess with nature, and you got problems. It's like the fishbowl, you know. If you ain't got somebody on the outside cleaning that water in that fishbowl, then that fish is going to die. We're peeing and pooing in our own fishbowl, and if we don't do something, we're going to die. That's all there's to it. It's not fear mongering, it's fact.
It is fact.
And so what we got to do is use all the knowledge that we already have. We have the knowledge to clean that mess up, all right? We have the knowledge to steer it off into a safe direction until we do it right and get everybody back to safety again. But it's going to take somebody spreading the word out there. Hey, there's this mad science guy over there who has an idea. It's a lot better than the idea you're doing right now, which is letting it kill off half the planet. Listen to this guy talk and at least hear him out, all right? Well, the same thing. There's other guys on the other side of the planet who have the same kind of knowledge, and I know the guys at the top already know this. If I know it, they got to know it. You know what I mean?
Okay. And I hope it doesn't take the human race to get to a point where we have seen a complete collapse of our food systems before we get active against this, because this is something that needs to be addressed now, not 5 years from now, not 3 years from now. It has to be dealt with now.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest prayer right now for the human race is that we start addressing this now before it is too late, because like you said, Shazir, these craters have actually melted into the earth, and when they hit magma, and that's going to happen eventually, because they can't stop this. Shazir, the way we're dealing with it right now, the conventional ways are dealing with it, they will not stop it. This has to be dealt with the ways that we're talking about right now, because when they do this, the magma, Shazir, we're going to see an explosion that's going to destroy the earth. And one quick thought before I do my last thought of the day that I'm going to share with your listeners is that, sure, Mother Nature is a very, very, very resilient force in our world, and she has gone through incredible extinction events in the past where we've been hit by asteroids or we've been done this, and we've seen extinction events on the planet, but the planet never dealt with the amount of potential of radioactive pollution that it's dealing with now. The amount of power plants are set up on this planet, the amount of waste that's buried in the earth is a potential to kill all life, and I don't know if Mother Nature is resilient enough to handle that. She says that
we thought. Mother Nature is definitely resilient enough, but the question is, do we have time to wait for nature to do what nature does? No, we don't. We don't have the time. Nature's got all the time in the world, all right? Nature's nature. But we, the people, don't have time to stand idly by and wait for it to happen, because we've created such a mess that if we don't do something about it, then hey, you know, when the food goes down, when the bees stop flying and the birds stop flying and the food chain comes down, guess who's at the top of that food chain, you know? And are we going to sit there and start eating each other? Not me, brother. I'd rather die of starvation. I'll be out there eating what's the rest of the tree bark.
Well, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but I don't see a very, very optimistic future if we keep going down the path we're going right now.
Well, that's why the prophets of wisdom and the Knights of the Round Table need to speak up right now, and we need to get people motivated in the right direction, because I believe there is potential for us to turn this boat around. It's just going to take a, you know, understanding that it's now or never kind of deal, because, like you said, on the path that we're on, we're heading towards sheer destruction, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Exactly. Well, all we can do is share knowledge with people and hope that we reach their hearts and the responsibility they have towards their future and their children, because that's what I feel every day is a responsibility to my next generation. And I'm sure we've all been part of this mess. We've all been brainwashed and duped to certain points in our life, but we're aware of what's going on now, and we can make changes. And I share your optimism, Shazam. But it's going to take a monumental effort. It's going to take the minds of this planet applied to it in all aspects right now to turn things around. And if we don't start at the grassroots where we are right now, it's not going to happen. Like you said, the government will never, ever, ever make changes that are beneficial to the human race. It's not in their agenda. So here we are, and we have the answers. Let's get them out there, guys. Man, I don't want to see what I see coming for my children in the future. I want to see a planet that's alive and vibrant and well, and have them experience what I've experienced in my life.
Yep.
And right now, it's the itch, so we got to get it out there, buddy.
Well, to any one of the supposed representatives in power out there, old crazy old Shaziz has got a few ideas, and I got some connections with a bunch of other people with ideas. And I believe we can solve the solution. If you're willing to hear us out, then you know how to get a hold of us. I mean, you've been spying on us long enough. You ought to be able to. So knock on my door, say hi. You know, we'll talk business. We'll talk about how we can fix this mess, you know, before it gets any worse. So with all that craziness said, then we're down to the last 5 minutes. You guys got any last words of wisdom?
I only got 5 minutes.
Well, no, together we probably got 2 minutes.
No, just thanks for letting me come in and share a few thoughts today. There's, like I said, Fukushima, it's something that we have to deal with, people. It isn't going to go away, and the potential for disaster on this planet is beyond anything I could even begin to comprehend. So let's get on with the solutions now, because we don't have a lot of time, Jesus.
I believe it. The dominoes have already begun to fall. The downfall of mankind is on the way if we don't get our act together. You know, we're going to have wars and all this kind of crazy stuff. We're polluting the heck out of the planet. We're making a mess out of the scene. We're peeing and pooing in our own fishbowl, and there's other people wandering around like zombies who are watching Dancing with the Stars and not paying attention to the fact that their world is falling apart.
Exactly.
So, let's make the world a better place. Justin, you got anything last to say? I guess he's got his microphone off. He fell asleep. All right. So with that said, everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. There's a lot of solutions out here. Let's keep this ball rolling. Let's keep the Knights of the Round Table alive. Do me a favor, or yourself a favor, or the world a favor. If you like what you're hearing on the Knights of the Round Table, go to the podcast page, download your favorite one, and share it with a friend, and tell them that there is hope in this world, and we do have solutions, and we can fix this thing. You know, it's not all about doom and gloom here. It's about solutions, it's about ideas, peace, hope, and love, and making our world a better place for your children and mine. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love to all.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Survive the turbo! Always looking to survive the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!